Grace, mercy, and salvation to you today from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today is the first Sunday in the season of Lent, and today I'd like to begin a new sermon series with you on Jesus' parables of the kingdom. And this morning I'd like to look especially with you at one parable, Matthew 13, verse 44. It's the story of treasure hidden in a field. It's perhaps the shortest parable Jesus ever told. It's just one verse, verse 44. In this story, though, Jesus is going to teach us not only the value of his kingdom and how we obtain it, but also I believe he's going to answer us for us a question that we might have. Why do not more people in the world accept Christ as king and accept his kingdom? Why are there so few who hear it, find it, discover it, and rejoice in it? Why is it that of the 7 billion people in the world, at least 5 billion, if not 6 or more, want nothing to do with Christ's kingdom or with Christ as king? Well, today I believe Jesus is going to answer this question and teach us a whole lot more in this parable of the kingdom, of the treasure hidden in the field. So let's take a look at it, read it, see what we can learn. Here we are. You ready? Are you with me? Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, one verse. Jesus proclaimed, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Let's read that again. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." So there's the parable. What can we learn? Well, first, we notice it's a parable about what? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of Christ. And what is that? It's a parable about God's rule, right? Because kingdom involves a king. God is king. Christ is king. It's about his rule on earth, his rule over men, and all the blessings and advantages that go along with it. Now, does everybody possess, and is everybody a member of Christ's kingdom? No, not everybody will possess it. And so he's telling us here about a man who actually finds, discovers, and obtains it. Second thing we note here is it's not just about the kingdom. There's a man involved here. Who's the man? Us, right. Any one of us, any person who actually finds, discovers, and obtains the kingdom of God. Thirdly, we notice Jesus tells us this in this parable, that the kingdom is like a treasure hidden in a field. So what's he telling us there about the kingdom? It's value, right? It's like a treasure that a person finds hidden in a field. It's not something worthless, useless, garbage, dirt, left over, but it is a priceless treasure hidden, buried in a field. Now, we don't have a lot of treasures hidden in the field, do we? You might watch Antiques Roadshow and see that someone had a treasure buried in their attic, you know, like the man who went to the yard sale and there was just two little boxes for $70 of little picture negatives. He ended up thinking with his eye, he thought that might be worth something, so he bargained it down to $40, $45, ended up being negatives of Ansel Adams' nature photographer original negatives, of which there are a few, $200 million, okay? Treasure hidden in a yard sale. In Jesus' day, Israel was a place of warfare. And you could keep your money and your treasures, well, in the bank, but if the enemy comes, they're going to take the bank. You could keep them hidden in the mattress, but they're going to look there. Best place, a lot of people did this, was very common those days. Enemy marauders going through the country, you hide your treasure in a field so that they will not get it. And when the enemy passes through and is gone, then you go out and dig up your treasure. Well, what happened a lot of times in those days is you bury your treasure, but for whatever reason, maybe you were killed or taken prisoner, that treasure remained buried and was hidden. In fact, this actually happened, it's happened many times, but there's a guy that I read of this week who found out that in Sidon, which is just northwest of Israel on the coast, that there were certain workmen digging there in the late 1800s. They dug up this garden in the city. and it ended up underneath they found copper pots, which were chock full of gold coins. Just chock full, and they found so many of them, and they were so excited, it became known, and the local government seized it all before they tried to take it all. They just couldn't take it all for themselves. There was so much gold. And it was sitting there all these days, all these years. Ended up, they were from Alexander the Great. And when Alexander the Great died, unexpectedly, in the chaos, an officer took and hid those, intending to come and dig them up later. But there they remained. He couldn't, for whatever reason, didn't return. And 2,000 years later, here's all this gold hidden in a field, if you will, under this garden to be dug up. So imagine the joy in digging, and all of a sudden, cling, and you find gold, 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 gold! Imagine the joy. Jesus says, that is what it's like when you find my kingdom. It's of such amazingly great value. And you're so overcome with excitement and joy at it that you are willing to go home and sell all that you have to buy that field, that you may obtain that treasure. When I ask, do you have that kind of joy to renounce everything for Jesus' kingdom? Is that how you value it? Well, how do we find the treasure of the kingdom? We find it, friends, in the preaching of the good news of the kingdom of God. When I'm bringing you these things, and I'm going to bring it to you in just a second, I am unburying that treasure for you to discover. And when the Holy Spirit gives you the faith to see and believe that good news and to see that kingdom, you would hazard all, give up everything and even your very life to get it. Would you do that? Well, how great is this treasure? Let's take a look here. What is it like? Jump over to another parable for a second. Matthew 25, Jesus says this, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he'll sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. He'll separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll place the sheep at his left hand, at his right hand, and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Inherit the what?
Kingdom.
Y'all awake today?
Yeah.
I know you are. Inherit the kingdom. This is on the day of Christ's return. On the last day, he says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What's that tell us about the kingdom? It is a present kingdom. It's already here among us, but it's really, especially, a future kingdom. One to be revealed when Jesus Christ returns. And what is that future kingdom? What are all of its advantages? Well, let's go through some of the advantages. The treasure. Romans 14, Paul says, "The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Righteousness, peace, and joy. Peter says, "But according to his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." What's that?
Christ.
New heavens. Yeah, you got it. New heavens and a new righteousness, and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, where Jesus is, right? We know that the king, Zechariah 9, "Lo, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation." What do you get in this kingdom? What are some of its advantages? Righteousness, his righteousness. Salvation, this is what your king comes. And it says he will, the battle bow shall be cut off. He shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from the sea to the sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. How big is this kingdom? Worldwide and full of peace. Are you catching a glimpse of it here? Well, how about this one? Psalm 68. "Our God is a God of salvation. To God, the Lord, belongs escape from death." Is that pretty good? That's an advantage. This is in this treasure box. You open it up and it says not only salvation, righteousness, new heavens, new earth, power, glory, but escape from death. Who doesn't want that? Jesus died for us to give us life. And you believe in him, you trust in Christ as Savior. Escape from death, and 1 Thessalonians 1, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Deliverance from the wrath to come. Isaiah 35, "The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Everlasting joy. How do you get that? God puts it upon you. He makes it, he just puts it on your head. Everlasting joy is this kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15, it's sown in dishonor, our bodies, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's the resurrection of the dead. You're going to die one day, right? You're going to be buried. You're going to go into a grave. This kingdom, if you accept it, means that you will be raised from that grave, immortal, incorruptible, full of power and glory. Fantastic. Not a bad kingdom. Isaiah chapter 11, the wolf shall lie down with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. This kingdom is nature restored to paradise. And John the Baptist preached salvation to his people, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins through the tender mercy of our God when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give the light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Forgiveness. Peace with God. And the best thing about this kingdom is what? I think Michael hit it right nail on the head there. It's the king. That's what makes this kingdom so great. It says of Jesus, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he'll judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Do you know that I'm standing here today before you like a knight, like a herald, to proclaim the coming king, our king, and his kingdom? And these things are all real, though as yet invisible. It's already present here with us today, but these things are especially a future kingdom, namely they'll be revealed on the last day. And will you accept and give up all for this kingdom? Jesus says that this kingdom, when a man hears it and discovers it, is so great, of such great value, that a man, when he hears it and discovers it, goes out with joy at once and sells all that he has to buy this kingdom. Do you do this? Jesus says in Luke 14, therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. You sell everything for this kingdom. Does everybody do that? Well, Jesus met a rich young ruler one time. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. All these I've observed from my youth. Jesus heard it and he said, one thing you still lack. Go, sell all that you have and distribute to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Sell it all to obtain the kingdom. But this man, when he heard it, went away sad because he was very rich. Jesus said, looking at him, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. So, does everybody receive this kingdom? No. This guy didn't really see the value of it because he saw the value of his riches as better in this world, and so he went away sad. And so Jesus is teaching us here, it's got to be first in your heart. And this treasure, when you truly see it with the eyes of faith, will make a man willing and want to give up everything, even his own life, to obtain it. Think about Abraham. What did God do to him? He says, Abraham, come on out. He says, Abraham, Abraham. He says, here am I. Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. What did Abraham do? He obeyed, right? He counted his king, his love for his king, as greater even than his love for his son, his only son, whom he loved, and God acknowledged that. And of course, he went out to do so. God stayed his hand, and he says, now I know that you love me, because he put God first. And therefore, Abraham is the father of all those who are justified by faith. He sold everything for the kingdom. Consider Paul. He was said, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Look at my pedigree. I am of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee, zeal, a persecutor of the church, righteousness under the law, blameless. In other words, he had it all. Praise of men, deputized by the high priest. He had righteousness according to the law. But on the road to Damascus, that treasure box was opened up. He saw the king, he saw the kingdom, and from then on he was willing to hazard all to be a hunted outlaw by the Jews for the rest of his life because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. He says, for his sake, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse, which is skubala in the Greek. That's the word, which basically means dung, poop, all right? In order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, having a righteousness not my own based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. So we see Abraham, we see Paul, we see everybody who has heard this news gives up everything to obtain it because it's so great. It's immortality, it's glory, it's honor from God. And Jesus says, he who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. I want to ask you today, is Christ king in your heart? Is he number one? Are there any other contenders or any other idols? Cast them all aside for the precious treasure of Jesus. Consider again the value. The next parable. After this one, we were the hidden treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. There's a story of a guy, a farmer in England, British. He lost his hammer. So he borrowed a metal detector. This is in November of 1992, or his neighbor did. Went out to search for the hammer in his field. He's going over it with the metal detector, and all of a sudden the needle goes berserk. Wasn't his hammer. Found out he discovered 24 bronze coins, 565 gold coins, 14,191 silver coins, hundreds of gold and silver spoons, jewelry, statues buried by the Romans during the days of the Roman Empire. Do you think he cared about his hammer anymore after that? Friends, what I'm preaching to you today, though it sounds like just words, this is a real kingdom. And when you find it, your needle should just go berserk and say, my goodness, I will give everything for this and renounce it all for him. So now let's bring to a question. Why doesn't the rest of the world share with us in our joy? Don't let them rob you of your joy. Why don't they believe and rejoice and renounce everything with us for it? Answer, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found. Jesus says the treasure that you are hearing today is hidden with respect to the world. It's covered up. It's concealed. The word in the Greek is crypto, from which we get cryptography or cryptic or a crypt. It's hidden. It's mysterious. It's not seen. That's why the world considers you crazy for giving up everything for this Jesus and this kingdom of his, because they don't see it as you've come to see it. It has to be discovered and found and revealed. Jesus, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, visible. Nor will they say, lo, here it is, or there. For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. That word in the Greek, entos, in the midst of you, amongst you, or within you. There was a woman I heard just on Friday or Saturday. I said to Beth, why didn't you tell me this before I preached prepared the sermon? You know, but I'll put it in here anyway. There's a woman, 44 years old, never able to get pregnant. Tried and tried and tried, couldn't get pregnant. Finally, she ended up having some trouble. I guess she was a little bit more heavy set. and she thought she had a hernia. She went in, and she was feeling kind of bloated. She went into the doctor. This is just on Friday, as on the news. Turns out she was 40 weeks pregnant, and she gave birth. You know, her husband's thinking she goes away, you know, for a hernia. She comes back with a baby. Friends, the gospel of the kingdom is a hidden kingdom. Jesus says it's within you. It grows up invisibly, like pregnancy. And you don't even know it's growing slowly inside you. It's you know, the Jews thought it was going to be a visible kingdom. Let's kick the Romans out of here. But this is a better kingdom with better advantages. It grows up inside in human hearts where Jesus is ruling as king. And I want you to know one day, just like with a pregnancy, that kingdom is going to be visible. What right now is just inside of you and growing up secretly is going to one day be seen in all of its resplendent glory. And you've got to keep that in mind. He told them another parable. The kingdom of God is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Hid it in there and whoosh, it filled it all, and finally out it comes a full loaf. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven, what are you thinking, your baby's a full loaf? The kingdom of heaven is as if a man should scatter seed upon the ground and sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He knows not how. The earth produces of itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Is this kingdom that's hidden forever going to remain hidden? Women, you had a baby in your womb. Did it remain hidden forever? Eventually, it's visible, just like the seed in the earth, just like leaven in a lump of dough. It grows until it becomes visible. And so don't lose your faith in this just because it's hidden or because the world says, I don't see it, it ain't there. Missouri, the show me state type of thing is the world. No offense to those from Missouri, but it grows up secretly inside of you, but it is really, truly present and one day will become visible. The power that's hidden inside of a tiny seed, the precious pearl hidden in an oyster, the gold that's hidden in a field, such is the kingdom, Jesus says, my kingdom. Consider for a moment how blessed you are to see it. The disciples came and said, why do you speak to these other people in parables? And Jesus answered them, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom, but for others they're in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not hear. But blessed are your eyes, for your eyes see and hear. Blessed are your eyes. Do you see it today? When I preach to you this kingdom, are you seeing it? Are you discovering it? I know it's just words, but it's not just words. These are the words of the God who made us. Jesus says, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to babes. Yea, Father, for such was thy gracious will. And he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Has the Son been revealed to you? Has the Father been revealed to you? That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Rejoice today. You've seen the Savior, the treasure. Hazard all for it. Let him be first in your heart. No idols, no contenders. How should we respond then when the world mocks us? Well, our king says to you, don't let it trifle you. You can't expect the world to go along with you on this because the ways of my kingdom are hidden, right? Of course, God's not really Irish or whatever, but it's only for those whose eyes are open to it by me that can see my kingdom. Your eyes have been opened. See it and rejoice, because in their case, the unbelievers, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light, the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. And Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise up that person at the last day. So let's tirelessly share it with our good friends and neighbors that they may hear and see and discover and sell all with us to obtain it. In the meantime, let's rejoice and not grow weary. For again, consider the invisible nature of our faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Moses left Egypt not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Do you see invisible things today? Are you looking at it here, this hidden kingdom? Can you see it by faith? Because at one time, at one day, you will see it visible. When the invisible appears, those things that are visible now will disappear. The things that we see now seem so real, our bodies, our wealth, our possessions, our empire, the fun, the pleasures of this life. But when the invisible appears, those things that are now visible will disappear, vanish like smoke, like mists, like a vapor that goes up. Behold, he's coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, everyone who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. So buy truth, friends, and do not sell it. What, lastly, makes this kingdom just so great? And what is it so great for me, for you? The king. It's the king. He's the one who makes the kingdom. We have a righteous king. For though this parable is really about us finding the kingdom, I want to tell you something. In another way of looking at these things, you are God's treasure. He came and found you buried in a field of sin. And he saw you of such value to himself, though you were dead in your trespasses, he still went away from heaven, came here, and sold everything he had to obtain you, to make you his treasure. He gave up his former glory in heaven, divested himself of it, gave up his power. He came here, took on our flesh, was willing to be impoverished through his whole life in order to make you rich, to buy you back, to purchase you with the own precious blood of the Lamb, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And so Jesus, our King, loves you and gave himself up for you, everything. Who would not then likewise renounce everything and all that he has, give up even himself, even die, to obtain such a kingdom and to have such a king as he? In Jesus' name, amen.